know that He will take care of me. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. Always present in time of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. He breaks the bow and He shatters the spear. A mighty fortress is He.
You ladies. All right, Titus chapter 2. You know that we are going through this series. Whenever pastor's gone, I jump into Titus. And y'all have been really looking forward to this next one. Word-infused younger women. And you say, oh, we're just focusing on one group, one specific group for today. Why not everyone? Well, if you've been here for the other times that pastor's been gone and I've started the beginning of chapter 2, you've known that we've already talked about being word-infused older men and word-infused older women. And no, I did not call out anyone as far as which age group they are a part of. They get to decide that for themselves, right? So I don't get in too much trouble. But I do want to present this to you. Listen, this is the Word of God. And at times, in fact, most of the time, the Word of God is countercultural. And again, I titled Titus as being a countercultural living. That's the theme that I see all throughout Titus. And when you have the Word of God, it is going to present a countercultural life. And so when you actually follow the Word of God, you're going to look and act different than the rest of the world. So does that mean that you need to hand make all of your clothes and only have metal tires, no air in your tires because the prince of the power of the air, so I can't have inflated tires and I'm supposed to have only my little group and no electricity and da-da-da-da-da-da? Is that what that means? No. It doesn't mean that we have to be weird, off. It just means that we need to be Christ-like. We need to be following His word. So as we get into this, sometimes people do some, like back in well, they still probably do it all around the world. They do weird things, like in order to gain entrance into heaven, or at least that's what they're told. They'll walk for miles on their hands and their knees. In fact, it's not walking, it's crawling in order to gain some sort of entrance into a lesser purgatory. Listen, that it doesn't say that anywhere in the Word of God. You know, I'm supposed to wear burlap, you know, for the rest of my life, you know. Nope. No, I don't see that either. You know, so sometimes there's some weird things that's brought up, like even within different traditions. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard, but like Mormons have a holy underwear. And you say, what is it? It's like long johns that literally they will buy because it's something different, you know, that they somehow have added into their traditions, and if I dare say, cult-like traditions, in order to present somehow more spiritual. They've got secret handshakes. They've got all kinds of different things, and you say, where did you find this out? Did you watch YouTube and watch all these conspiracy theories? No, I've talked to Mormons. And if you remember, in college, I actually ordered a free Book of Mormon because I was going through a cults class. And it was free up on the website. But they don't deliver it through the mail. They hand deliver that. And then the security guard at school told them my room number. So they showed up at my room. And then they chased me all around campus because I was watching some intramural sports or something. And then I go back to my room after it's all said and done. And they said, hey, there's two Mormons looking for you. And then we finally found them, and we presented the Word of God to them for the next few hours and talked about the real gospel. And then they said, can we come back? Sure, if you want to travel 45 minutes to an hour to come and hear the gospel, sure. We'd love for that. That's probably the easiest way to present the gospel is for them to come to you. And so they came every single Monday for the rest of the semester, excluding spring break and one other time. And we talked about the gospel. They brought their hierarchy. Their hierarchy couldn't stand up to the gospel. And they left. And usually that's when they stop them from ever coming back. But they just kept coming. That's interesting. But you know, there's weird things that they were searching for. You could tell that they were searching for something more real, even though they were required by Mormon tradition to serve 2 years as a missionary. It's interesting. There's so many interesting things out there. But you know what? What I want to focus on is the Word of God and what that presents. And it's so important. So we get into Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. It states there, if you've forgotten since a couple of months ago, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Make sure everything that you do and that you say reflects the Word of God. And if that isn't happening in your life, then that means there should be some differences made in your life in order for you to be able to follow the Word of God. For that to be sprinkled all throughout the workplace, as you go to your workplace. Yes, you are supposed to be the same person that shows up here on Sunday as the same person that shows up on Monday morning or Monday night, or whenever shift that you show up to the workplace. Or if you work from home, and as you answer the phones, or whatever it is, you are the same exact person. If you are retired and showing up to your doctor's appointments every single week in McDonald's coffee session, whatever that might be, you must be the same person that comes in on Sunday morning. And that person should be reflective of sound doctrine, the truth. So important. Folks, as you vote in November, you should vote according to sound doctrine. Pastor, tell me, who are you endorsing? Nope, I'm not telling you. What I will tell you is that I base my vote off of the Word of God. But I also understand that I'm not voting for a pastor. Voting for president and other servants of this nation. That's what I vote for. And yes, I do show up to vote. Because guess what? That is my freedom. God has given me, and that so many others have died for. I don't waste that vote. You say, what's it worth? It's just one. The Electoral College might mess it up. Listen, I do my responsibility and allow for God to do his. And if Trump gets president, or if Biden gets president, or whatever that lady is for the Libertarian Party gets president, I'm going to trust God that he knows what he's doing. Does that make sense? But the Word of God affects the way that I do things. It affects the way that I watch things and read things. It affects everything. So as we jump down into verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women. Who's that talking about? It's talking about the older women. The older women may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right, we'll see you later. Now you're wondering how I'm going to present this. If I presented this in the middle of Washington, D.C., do you know how many death threats I'd get? Let's walk into Chicago and try to present something like this. Do we believe the word of God? I just want to ask that. Okay, now let's get into the word of God. As we get into this, listen, the word of God transforms, as we see in verse 1. And based on the word of God, this is supposed to change us. The older men, as we've seen in later or in earlier passages, it says that we're supposed to be, the older men are supposed to understand what love, faith, and patience is. They're supposed to be marked by self-control and discernment and become worthy of respect. Get this, they're supposed to be worthy of respect, not just expecting to be respected because of their age. That is very important. So many people, let's say like professors at college that get tenure, at some point they just don't care what they're doing because they know that they have what they have and it's never going to be taken away from them. Or maybe some of our politicians that have been a lifelong politician and they know what they have and they are so involved that they will never be uprooted from their position. And sometimes we get older men that because of their age, they just expect to be respected because I'm older than you, so therefore, dot, dot, dot. Then we come back here and say, okay, listen, every older man must be worthy of the respect. Is it possible? Yes. There are many older men in this church that I respect because they're worthy of that respect. I praise God that we have examples in this church that I can look to, that I can bring my son before and say, watch this man. He knows what he's talking about. He knows it. And he lives it. Isn't that so important? But jumping down into the older women, they're supposed to be reverent in their behavior, which is proper for God himself. Why am I reverent? To look good. No, it's because you're standing before God at all times. He is everywhere. And so I want to honor him through my behavior. She's a lover of people. She's consumed with God. And she's multiplying good. And then she's going, this behavior is changing when the Word of God transforms our life. A life that reflects God. And it goes on and it talks about how they're actually teaching others. But as we get into this, as the Word of God transforms, we get into point number 2, a contrary life defames the word. They say, what are you talking about? Go down to verse 5. It says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You say, what are you talking about? Isn't it just unbelievers that blaspheme the word of God? No. They need to live. In fact, I'm just going to expand this to everyone in this room, okay? And if you don't believe in God here today, listen, I'm praying for you, and I hope you can see the power of God on display today, and you'll want something different today, and that is to be saved. That's what I'm praying for. But if you're here today, and you are a child of God, and you're looking at this statement, listen, you can blaspheme the word of God by the way that you live. And if you are actually diving into the word of God, if it's actually having effect, listen, it's kind of like this. Some people say that they're on a diet, but they don't do what the diet says. If they don't do what the diet says, then it's not going to do what it's supposed to do, right? All right, how many people are gluten-free? Anybody in here? Okay, we got a couple of them, okay? Gluten-free. And they go around and they say that they're gluten-free, but then they are always eating gluten. And then they go home and they're, oh, my stomach hurts, or whatever else happens after you eat gluten, okay? I like my seafood diet. Whatever I see, I eat, right? But again, I can't always do that, all right? Because I am allergic to fish. Ironic that I have a seafood diet, but I'm allergic to fish. But anyway, as you go into it, and there is a difference. But, you know, I've known some people that say, I can't eat this, and then I'm always finding them eating that. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, you know some athletes that are supposed to be fit. And yet, what do you see after my favorite team, a Cardinals game? What do you see? Let's pop open the champagne bottles and spray them all over each other and then drink it. For some odd reason, that just doesn't make sense in my mind. If you want to be a fit human being, you do not want to have a beer gut. It just doesn't make... I think let's pop open some water bottles and throw that at each other. How about that? It makes more sense that way. But in the same way, if you are a Christian, live like it. Supposedly, this is a Christian nation. I do not see it being a Christian nation. I really don't. With the kind of crazy stuff that's going on today, I just don't see it as a Christian nation. When we don't bring sex trafficking as more of a priority than all the other stuff that's going on right now, listen, sex trafficking is real. And yet, that seems to be just tossed underneath the rug because so many of the higher-ups are involved in it. And then they hang themselves in some prison cell, and then everybody's like, oh, whatever. He's dead. What does it matter now? Oh, it matters. It matters. When people are selling children, I think that's called slavery, folks. Do we have a slavery problem? Yes, we do. But it's way bigger than what we've always stated it is. And so we're getting into this, and we're coming in and trying to say, oh, we're a Christian nation. We're a Christian nation. Or how about this? When Christians say that they are a child of God, and yet they never, never look into the Word of God. How many of you would be in marriage still yet? How many of you that have passed that, you know, you get the bouquets of flowers? You've passed that time, and how many of you are ignoring your significant other? When they speak, you take the newspaper and not listening. Da la 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 la. You probably won't have a bouquet of flowers next year. Bad news bears. And we all understand that, right? Because if we're ignoring the communication of the one that we are married to, let's just say that I stopped listening to my wife, we're going to have some major issues. I might show up black and blue next Sunday. No, she doesn't beat me like that. But I mean, honestly, we would have some serious marriage problems if we decided that we weren't going to communicate the way that God has told us to communicate. If we didn't have that love and respect. You say, why are you trying to present all of this to me? It's because if we're claiming a title, we better act like it. And how do we defame the word of God? How do we defame? Well, there's a couple of points. First of all, it's discouragement to the individual living a contrary life. One who is living contrary to the word of God will be discouraged. I think we've all been there. We've done that. Got the t-shirt. We've all had seasons in our life where we have decided to live a contrary way to the Word of God. We've walked away. We've stepped outside of church. We've stepped outside of the Word. And yet in those moments, I don't know about you, but personally, I never felt good about myself. Man, during the first couple of months of the coronavirus and not being able to meet together, that kind of messed me up. I don't know about you, but I was longing to get in the pew again. I was longing to be face to face with the community that God's brought me to. And yet, when I'm outside of that and I stay away from it, I just get discouraged all the time. Oh, yeah, I should do that. Yeah, I should get back. I'm just not doing this. I can't believe this. And things are going wrong in my life. And I can't seem to connect with my children. I can't seem to connect with my spouse. I can't seem to act right in the workplace. And things seem to be falling apart and all these other things. Listen, one who is walking contrary to the word of God, it will affect you in a negative way. But it'll not only affect you, it'll also be a discouragement and a stumbling block for fellow believers. I've had this before. Well, all of a sudden, a family leaves the church. Why? Because they got too many things to do. Because that's the first thing that goes. You know what's been good about the coronavirus? It's cleared our schedule. We no longer have stuff to do during Sunday morning, aside from sleep, but you already do enough of that when you're binge-watching your Netflix, falling asleep on the couch. So you might as well wake up on Sunday morning, right? But as we get into this, we had one family that walked away from the church because everything was wrong. It just doesn't matter. There was just an excuse for everything. And then all of a sudden, another family left. I was like, what's wrong? What is going on here? I walk up to that family and I say, hey, why aren't you showing up? Well, my only best friend in the church just left. So therefore, we don't really feel comfortable coming back. Oh, so one person who is making a bunch of excuses to get out of church ended up affecting a whole entire other family, including his own. And all of a sudden, you've lost 10 people. Huh, that's interesting. But you know, if all of a sudden John Briggs decided, I just don't feel like it anymore. I'm retired now. I need to relax. I've done my duty. I had to work in the plant. That was hard enough. I had to act like Jesus for too long. And believe me, if you work with Josh Clayton, it's tough enough. He requires a little extra, right? Right, right, Mindy? Yeah. And you say, what happens if John Briggs just up and leaves? Well, all of a sudden, the whole Sunday school class is without a teacher. And every single one of them is going to question, what just happened? You say, well, I'm not in charge of a Sunday school class. It really doesn't matter. I haven't been invested that long. It just doesn't matter. I just don't feel like I'm a part of it. It just doesn't matter. Listen, it always matters when you walk away. It affects those that are around you. Well, I'm just not feeling it today. It's been rough last night, and it's just, you know, it's raining, or it's snowing, the sun's shining, or what other seasons do we have? I'm mourning the loss of my football season, so I can't show up now. By the way, I think it'd be great just not to have football for a little while. You want to know why? Because that's one of the easiest excuses to skip church. But you know, it's also one of the easiest excuses to not pay attention during church. Because you know what some people are doing? Oh, man, they scored. Oh, they lost it again. Must be the Detroit Lions. Oh. Sports seems to be a very distracting thing. Is it a good thing? Yes. It's a good thing. But it can become a negative thing when it becomes my God thing. And so as we back up, we need to weigh out every little decision in our lives to understand whether it's truly important, whether it's a glory to God, whether it's encouraging others, the way that I live my life. But it's not only that, but the third point, it's a hindrance to unbelievers in the sense of, okay, if I defame the word of God, if I blaspheme the word of God, then all of a sudden the unbelievers who are looking for an excuse to stay away from the church have got theirs. I asked the teens on Wednesday night, I said, why would you choose Grace Baptist Church if you were looking for a church? And one of the points was, well, because pastor preaches the word of God as it is. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He gives it. I'm thankful for a pastor that gives the word of God as it is. But another one was, because I just feel like I belong. There's compassion and kindness. I'm accepted. Whoa. What if we were a church where we're the opposite, where it wasn't compassionate, wasn't merciful, where there's no grace? In fact, they were acting like everything the opposite. If you didn't believe the same way that they did, I'm going to rip him upside one down the other. You know, he's gone. He's not on my side because he didn't like the same color carpet. Is that a serious situation? For some odd reason, for some people it is. Well, they had it at 72 degrees today instead of 70. I am mad. I mean, there's always things that becomes a hindrance, and then all of a sudden, people on the outside are realizing that there's less cars in the parking lot. And they're wondering, what's going on? Why is it not worth coming to today when it was 2 weeks ago? What's the difference? What's the difference between a day of prayer and a normal day? I think it was worth it there. Not now? There's a lot of questions to be asked, isn't there? So me, as a Christian, defaming the word of God does affect those that are around us. As you go on, you say it like this. Let me give you an illustration that you'll connect with. If I was to take the American flag and I was to throw it on the ground today and I was to stomp on it and I was to burn it, how would you feel as an American? I think some of you would probably get up out of your seats and come and knock me off my feet. Because for some of you, you've had children that have fought for that flag, for that symbol. For some of you, you've fought for that flag, for that symbol. And when we choose to defame that, listen, burning a flag is doing no good, folks. It's not doing any good. If you want to change something, it's got to start with you. And it's got to start with the family. And we're going to encourage the family getting together and to rising up and doing what's right. You know what's going to change it? Not burning something, not destroying something, but living like Christ. You want to change people? Stop complaining about them and start reaching them for the cause of Christ. Listen, if we love Jesus, we're going to start loving other people. Not just calling ourselves Christians, but actually affecting our nation. You want to know how we fix a nation? Yeah, there's problems with America. I agree. There are. You want to know how we fix a nation? Is when we as individuals take God seriously, confess our sins, and ask for forgiveness. As we humble ourselves, seek His face, as that changes to my family, and they see that example, and they do the exact same thing, and then that spreads to the church. And then all of a sudden, that affects the church, and it keeps growing. And as the church affects the community, and as the community affects the state, and as the state affects the whole entire nation, that's how it happens. It's through the Word of God. If you don't agree with me, we can debate later. I believe that wholeheartedly. As you go in and you go in through the rest of this in verses 4 and 5, you see marks of transformation, change. It says in verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober. This is teaching by example. What do you mean by that? It doesn't mean necessarily. It does mean in the sense of, yes, informal teaching in Sunday school, you can be able to teach those that are of the younger generation to be able to know the Word and to be able to live it. But this is an informal type of teaching in the sense of when Sarah interacts with my daughter Riley and lives out the Word of God in front of her. They see that it's real. Not just some tradition that we hold on to. Not just some, a lot of people just say we're just a cult, right? You know, anything that belongs to God, you know, talks about God, is just another cult, just another fake belief system. You know what? No, this is real, where it actually affects people. And it's each person, every single one of us has become a teacher in that sense, where everyone is watching. You know, y'all are watching me right now walk back and forth like a nervous person. Okay, I'm not nervous. Well, maybe I am a little bit, but this is pastor's usual time. But anyway, I'm walking back and forth, and you're seeing how I act and how I preach. But you know what makes a difference is when you show up in my home and see how I live there. Now, don't all of you show up this afternoon. I won't be there. I'll be here. You can show up here if you want, I guess. You know what makes a difference is how I live my life outside of the church. 24/7. That's what makes a difference. How I speak and how I act. How I live. How I care. And so as this transforms, you get into this and you see the marks of this transformation. You see that they teach young women to be sober, to live wisely in self-control over their passions and desires. Okay? You don't just do what you want when you want to do it because it feels great. You have self-control. There's allowing the Spirit to fill you. And you know, there's so many other things out there that we blame our lack of self-control on. Well, I just wasn't feeling great, so therefore I had to go and eat a whole gallon of ice cream. Just made me feel good for the moment. Why to go buy some shoes? Somebody gave me that example. Yeah, right. Or buy a boat. Because my last one blew up. Or whatever it might be, I have to fill my life with all these other things to try to control. Or, you know, I don't have any control. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. Oh, man. You make me angry. Sober. Teaching them self-control. To love their husbands, you say, wait a minute. Does that mean every woman has to get married? Nope. What it does mean is if they have a husband, to love them. To teach them how to stick with it. Let me ask you, ladies. Is it easy to love your husband at all times, 24/7? There you go. I knew I'd get one of them. And now, since one has stated it, is it easy to love your husbands at all times 24/7? No. I thought I'd get more of an answer there. It's not easy. It takes hard work, doesn't it, ladies? Yes. You're finding your voice. You're God-empowered here. Not self-empowered. God-empowered here to be able to say it, right? This is tough. And listen, they don't teach you that in the public school. To love your husband. They don't teach you that through government reform. You know how you learn that? It's by someone stepping into your life and telling you, this is how it is. And it's tough. And you want to give up sometimes. But love is not a Hallmark feeling. It's a lifestyle. It's the way that I live. And so therefore, it's going to take sacrifice. Loving their children. Have you ever had a moment when you just feel like you got to get away from the children? You say, what if a woman can't have children? Okay, I understand. I understand that. Okay, and this does not negate you spiritually from being this. You want to know why? It's because we all have our moments to teach. And somebody asked me, you know, aren't you going to have any more children? I said, I got enough. 3 plus all the teenagers that I have to deal with. No, I get to deal with on Wednesday night, right? And anybody else who wants to come in and be a part of that influence, I'll try. I'll do my best. I get to teach. So you say, I don't have any physical children. Oh, guess what? You've got plenty more. So don't believe that this negates you in any way. But loving your children, are there any moments where you just have to take them? Have you ever done this? You just take them over to the grandparents' house, drop them off. You didn't explain anything. Sometimes you don't even drop off diapers. You just walk away. And say, I got you. Don't worry. Go do your thing. Go and have a coffee. Just get your peace and quiet for a little while, right? Have you ever felt that, you know? It's not just something that comes easy. Yeah, the first day, sure. They're beautiful. They just, oh, that's so awesome. And then the first night, oh, go to sleep, child. Nurse, please come and take this child. It's not so beautiful anymore. It's so important for us to be able to understand, how do I love my child the best way? How do I love my spouse in the best way possible? And no, it's not an easy thing that just comes so natural and just, I'm the perfect mom. You know what? The ones that show up on social media that have all the pictures and everything's just perfect and dandy and I'm so spiritual and I'm just the best parent and nothing ever happens wrong. Put up a camera in their home. And you want to watch another reality TV show? That'll be exciting. Call in Nanny McPhee. Because they're going to need them. All right? They're going to need everybody. Because that's the way life is. Do you ever feel this? Don't we need this? As you go on. There's a few more. I know. I get into this. All right? Then we teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. You're waiting. This word is pointing to be moderate and sensible, to display good judgment, discernment, be both discerning of good and what's evil. And this isn't just reserved for older age, but it's reserved for all. In the sense that some say, well, they're just young and they got to just go sow their wild oats or whatever they want to call it. Please. No. They just got to go try it out. Please, no. They got to go experiment. I don't take a snake and throw it to my children and say, good luck. So why do we do that with the world? Good luck. Go experiment. Try it out. See if you like it. Try him on for a few weeks. See if it's going to work out. It's just like a pair of shoes. No. I'm going to go sleep with this person and that person for a few weeks and see if it works out. No. That's not how it works. You don't go and try on used undergarments, do you? It just doesn't work that way, right? God has called us to purity. In the sense of just being discreet and chaste, that word purity that goes into not just the physical side of things, but the emotional and the mental side of things. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school, in the sense of sometimes we just give ourselves over to someone so much so that we feel guilty if we don't stay with that person, and then we just get married out of guilt. How would you like to live the rest of your life with guilt? You have a choice. Make it. Before you say, till death do us part, before God and all those that are witnessing. Live like God is the goal instead of another human being. But this is a mess in our world today. People trying out other people's marriage partners and trying out all these other things and experimenting and you know, inviting pornography into their home and being okay with it. And well, you know, if you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a show on television, right? Even though they're doing wrong things right in front of your eyes. And you know, it's not encouraging for your spiritual growth. This is so important for us to be able to grasp. Purity. Not because of this. Maybe you've been told this, you know, those who are younger and haven't met their spouse yet, okay? You stay pure for that spouse one day. No. You stay pure because God told you to stay pure. That's it. Because you might not get married. So then what? I say, well, what if I'm older? You know, I'm out of the young years, and I'm, this age older, you know, it doesn't matter anymore, right? Age does not change it. Age does not change the truth. And so when we get in here, it's so important for us to be able to mark these changes in our lives, to be keepers at home. Whew. What's this mean? It does not mean this. It does not mean that the wife should never, ever be able to work outside the home. It does not mean that she should always be barefoot and in front of the stove. You know those jokes? I just messed with you, Josh. I'm sorry. You know those jokes? Have you ever heard those jokes? You know, what's she doing out there? She should be in front of the stove. What's she doing out of the kitchen? What's she need an umbrella for? And then they laugh, right? But honestly, what does this mean? Keepers at home. You know what? Sometimes people have to get jobs, or the husband who has been commanded by God to take care of his home needs to get a job. I will agree that that is fully biblical. And the wife, sometimes they need to get out there and get a job. Sometimes to be able to make ends meet. I don't know. Maybe some of you are in that situation. I praise God that Keely and I have never had to do that. We've never been forced into it. We just made it work. You want to know why? Because I want to make sure that I know who's training up my children. And I know what I've been commanded to do. Is to go out and provide for my home, make sure that there's bread on the table. That's what I've been commanded to do, to take care of my family, to be there out in the front and doing what needs to be done to be taking care of my family. And then my wife gets to be at home and train up our children in the ways of God, and we know exactly what is happening. I praise the Lord that we're able to do that. Sometimes it doesn't always work that way. So what do we do in a type of situation where mom and dad have to go and work? Guess what? You're still the keeper of your home. You still need to know what's going on in your home and what they're being taught. Not the TV teaching them everything. Not social media teaching them everything. Not Snapchat and TikTok and how many other things. I can't keep up with it all. And sometimes we just excuse ourselves out of actually keeping our home because we can't keep it up with it all. And it's scary what's out there. Do you remember a few years ago, maybe it was just a year ago, that Momo thing over YouTube? That was scary, wasn't it? If you've never heard of it, it was a YouTube where it looked like it was a child's YouTube thing that they could watch. And then all of a sudden, this creepy person would show up and tell them, let's go play hide and go seek and don't tell your parents because I might show up and kill them and different things like that. It was creepy. It was nuts. It was of the devil, folks, okay? And there's a lot of things that are out there. But we need to be keeping track of our home. Not letting everybody else do it for us. There was a big deal when everything became remote education. You want to know why? Well, who's going to teach my kids? I can't do it. Oh man, it's so difficult, isn't it? It's like I've been trained for the school to teach my kids for so long. That's what we've been trained to do, isn't it? And now in Taylorville, I've been trained that the food is supposed to be supplied to my child. So what am I going to do? Well, I have to provide lunches for my children? What? That's crazy. All of a sudden, we've been thrown out and thrown into this whole entire mix where maybe it's opened up our eyes to where are we keepers at home? Are we actually watching over that? Are we taking action and seeing what's going on in our own home? I got to quickly go through this. The keepers at home, trust in God, and move forward with that. Going on, they should be good. This is a description of God. They should be taught to be good. God is good, therefore we should be good. God is good all the time, therefore we should try to be good all the time. This is not a legalism, but it's a lifestyle. And it goes on into that last one, obedient to their own husbands. And you say, what does this mean? Whew, man, I'm stepping on some tough hot coals today, ain't I? I should let Pastor McPhillips do all this. But you know what? It says it in the Word of God. You say, what does this mean? Well, it goes back to the submission aspect. And that is an evil term in our culture today. And you know what it says in that passage back in Ephesians 5? It actually talks about how we are that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands as they submit to God. So therefore, I am submitting to the ladies are submitting to their authority, God, and through that, they're submitting to their husband. Now, I've always seen of it like this. It's like an umbrella. Maybe you've heard this illustration. It's like an umbrella. And you know, men are supposed to hold that umbrella for their wives and make sure that they aren't, you know, hit by the, you know, that's just the nice thing to do, right? We're just supposed to be manner-like. We've got this umbrella that my wife gets to stay under to protect her from melting in the rain, right? Because she's sugar. The moment that she steps outside of that, all of a sudden she's been affected by the rain. But she has the option to be able to stay within my protection. See, what do I mean by that? See, I stand before God and I give an account for my wife and my children. And so therefore, I should be doing everything within my power to be leading them towards Christ. So when she can stand underneath that umbrella, it's because I am leading her towards Christ. I mean, she doesn't have her own decision-making and her free will. I'm not saying that she has a free will to be able to step outside of that umbrella anytime that she wants. But if I am walking her towards Christ and she submits to that leadership, then she will be protected. You get what I'm saying? Staying underneath that umbrella. And see, that's the thing that in our culture today, we are taught to not do. Men were just supposed to be Paul Blart, the mall cop that messes up everything. Some of you didn't get that. Now some of you have. You say, yeah, I watched that. Yeah. We're not supposed to be just that guy that just messes up everything and we're just told what to do and yet we just mess up the whole family and the wife controls us like on the puppet strings. No. Are we supposed to be that dictator that some people tell us to do and boss them around and do everything? No. That's not how you lead your family, your spouse. Men, it's in that moment that we get to step out and be in the front to take the hits. You know, the first guys at Normandy that stepped out took the hits for those that were behind. They saved their lives. In the same way, men should be doing the same thing for their families. And so when you're talking about that, when they're submitting, as you submit to the Lord, it's a very different equation than what everybody else out in the culture is telling you. It's very, very different. And if you've got questions on that, please come and talk to me after the service. We'll have a long debate over that. But when it works as God is intended it to be, it's perfect. So when you get into this and the marks of transformation, what the Word of God does to your life to change you, to make you in a way that is an example to all those around you, this is how we should live. Discipling others, helping others, we never retire from discipling, from being different, from being that light, from being the salt that prevents decay, that holds back the decay in our world today. Let's do what God called us to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've given today. And God, this was intense. Two verses, but yet it was a lot of stuff to walk through. And God, we just thank you for your truth. And as difficult as it is sometimes to hear your truth and to defy what culture defines things, and to actually see how you define it, God, thank you for allowing us the time to be able to do that this morning. God, bless our congregation, but also confront the issues within our congregation that doesn't reflect your word. There is so much out there that is battling and pulling away at this truth, and yet, Lord, help us to hold fast to it. God, if there's someone here today that hasn't been saved, that doesn't know what it is to be a follower of you, Lord, that they would start to ask questions, that you would put that desire in their heart today and come to know you today as their Lord and Savior, as their God. God, but if you're Christians here today, convict us of our sin and help us to draw nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.